I know we, I think we, the last thing we studied was authority, but I want to go to a place, let's go to John chapter 7. This is late in the, this is Jesus' last Feast of Tabernacles. So it would have been the feast before the last, his last feast, the Feast of Tabernacles just before he was, in the fall before he was crucified. Let's go to verse, start in verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they had, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet." And when it's the prophet, it's the prophet that is in, prophet was in, foretold in Deuteronomy 18, where it's a big deal, but we'll study that later. Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. So even before those 4 days when infuriated everybody, there was this thing about nothing good can come out of Galilee, was the statement that was among the Jews in Judea, and particularly the Messiah can't come out of Galilee. But they didn't realize that Mary and Joseph had come to Bethlehem for the birth. So the scripture that says, verse 42, "Have not the scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" Now, that's in, well, it's all over the place, so we don't know. So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. This was during that feast. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, "Why have you not brought him?" The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." Then answered them the Pharisees, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed." Then Nicodemus saith unto them, "He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them," and then in verse 51, this is Nicodemus, "doth not our law judge man before it hear him and know what he doeth?" They answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." But the point of this is that never a man spake like this man. And we studied the one yesterday. He spake as one having authority. And we went through all that deal about in the other the way the Pharisees, that everything had to be predicated by a former respected Jew prophet. So anyway, I just wanted to get this idea of what that Galilee rightly saying, no prophet can come out of Galilee, and the Messiah, from the Pharisee standpoint, the scriptures say he came out of Bethlehem. So that's I thought that was interesting enough to talk about. So, all right.
What interests me there was the authorship of his words.
The what?
The same as God speaking and things into creation. Christ had that same voice, and when that's why he would heal people. You know, it was from the Creator. It wasn't he wrote the book?
All right. Let's start in chapter 20 of Luke, verse 19. I think that's where we stopped. I got to quit taking side trips. We'll never get out of here.
So where did we end up here?
Luke 20, verse 19.
Okay.
That's where we landed at 18 yesterday. And the chief priests and the scribes... Now we're back into the 4 days before the period of 4 days where he made everybody mad at him. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him and sent forth spies which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar, or no? And so this was these guys feigning to be friends, and they're spying on him. And they're trying to get him to be offended to offend their or to fulfill their desire, that he would say something wrong. But then he says, "Why you tempt me? Show me a penny or a coin, whose image and superscription hath it?" And they answered and said, "Caesar's." And he said unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. Now, this obviously very well-known scripture, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, unto God what is God's. I think I told you before that in the Gulag in Russia, they modified this slightly, and said, they said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. But if Caesar demands what is God, you don't resist. You go quietly into Caesar's prison. So, and this was that's why the Gulag was full of Christians and during the time of Russian power. And the Gulag was a terrible place. It was in Siberia, where there was some of the coldest weather Sometimes they didn't even have heat. But my question to us, are we rendering unto God's what is God's and unto Caesar what is Caesar's? And again, this is one of the tells in this cosmic poker game we're playing. If you're rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's, or if you're rendering unto to Caesar what is God's, then there's a problem. Can anybody give me an example of rendering unto Caesar what is God's?
Your tithe.
I didn't hear what you said.
Tithe, perhaps.
Wow.
Tithe.
That's rendering, isn't that rendering unto God what is God's?
Anything that's not your business.
What?
Anything that's not your business doesn't belong to Caesar. Belongs to God.
I don't know. Give me an example.
Just that. I don't know. People get stoked up about political issues as an example. It's really not their business. People that have no vested interest in an interest suddenly become spokesmen for it and they take stands as a result.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good.
To do.
Well, what another one is tail bearing. When you get it down to its purest place, when you talk about people, when that person you're talking about isn't present,
that belongs to God or Caesar. That belongs to God or Caesar.
Well, you're rendering you're taking the things of God and rendering it onto Caesar, onto the God of this world, and by passing on rumors or whatever it is. And it's just something I just thought of, so I'm not sure. I haven't studied it.
Well, it's like you're talking about mammon, kind of. Mammon is
anything. It's a Chaldean word that means anything that you have confidence in.
Gives you life, you know.
Right. It's what gives you the I used to say, I don't care about money. The only thing I care about is the freedom that money gives you. You know, you can pick up and do anything you want, anytime. But that's an illusion. But the whole I've never looked at it that way, but it sounds pretty good. It
sounds pretty parallel with what I've heard you say for a long time.
That was quite astute, Jeff. I was very touched. No, I think.
All right. You're back to.
For a reward, so I did.
Okay, then verse 27.
So maybe I was
back to Luke 20. I can't hear you guys. What you're with a cup in front.
We were mocking each other.
Oh, okay.
In that last comment.
It was a mocking.
Mocking.
We were rendering unto each other.
Okay, Luke 20, verse 27. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection, and they asked him, saying, "Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children, and the second took her to wife, and he died childless, and the third took her And in like manner, the seven also, and they left no children, and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. That's a great question. I mean, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection per se. Actually, that's true. They didn't believe in the resurrection. But they also didn't believe in the power of God in your individual affairs. The power of God was always to Israel, or if they would. So, anyway, that's... But this question that they asked is a great one, and it can't be answered by the understanding of what's being preached around, because there's no answer. But this is what Jesus' answer is cutting to the core. Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush, when he calleth the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him. Now, this just destroyed their question, and it destroyed most of our belief systems. They that are accounted worthy to enter into the kingdom of God and the resurrection neither marry nor are given in marriage. That puts Gary, John, in trouble.
It gives you some...
What?
That puts you in a good place.
You're in like flood.
Yeah.
No, the point of this is this is what the cross is. It's not, has nothing to do with your marriage. It's about seeing that as a parable to help the body see issues of God. But they're not the husband and wife don't enter as husband and wife. They enter as the only one who is resurrected. Christ, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that is resurrected. Does everybody understand that? That's why you have to understand the cross is total. It caused your death. Now you are Christ in that form that you are.
So what, the love of the world or love of another person prevents you from entry?
No. Where does it say that?
I don't understand.
I didn't say that. No, the point of it is the things that are taking place in our lifetime, where things are from a positive standpoint, a picture of the bride, from a negative prospect, a picture of the whore. They are all, everything in the universe reveals either the whore or the bride. And it has nothing to do with the aspects of what you think are important here. They that are of the resurrection neither marry or are given in marriage. I mean, this isn't bad news to those of you that are married.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Huh? No, because it's about the marriage is the picture of the reason time and space exist.
I only said what I said because I know there's that verse about it. If you hateth your brother and your mother and your father
and your own life also,
then would
and wife and children.
Then you.
No one comes to me unless they hate his mother and father, his brother and sisters, his wife and children, yea, and his own life also.
That's why. Whatever connection I was making, wrong or right, that was it.
Isn't it simply like all men, especially the Sadducees, I guess, thinking the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world are interrelated, have something to do with each other? So all this marriage and whose wife is she, you know, that would have to do with the kingdom of this world thinking. But that's what Jesus destroyed here, I think, from what we've said.
Well, but isn't it, just think of the what people talk about is heaven. I mean, heaven is Arano. It in Greek, it just means that which is above the earth. And it's not necessarily in height, it's in rank. Now, what we know as heaven, what we call heaven, is the New Jerusalem. And that New Jerusalem is the place of the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is as far as we know to take it. That's as far as the Bible teaches us about time. What happens after the marriage supper of the Lamb? The scriptures are silent. But everything from Adam and Eve on, every picture, every idea, everything reveals some aspect of that marriage. That's what the word, that's why God so loved the cosmos. The cosmos is the adornment of the bride. God so loved the bride that he gave his son. But then it says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father isn't in him. But the love of it's a different word. Ion is the word used. If any man love the world, it's the world system. If you give breath to the things, give importance, then you're, well, it's not just give importance, it's the idea that you think it's important. You remember the word love there is agapeo, the verb form. If any man love, agapeo, the world, though the Father is not in him. Because you're still in the position of having not seen the emptiness and vanity of the world system. But especially your own. Thou art wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you sayest not, there is no hope. For you found the life of your own hand, and therefore you are not grieved. That happens to all of us thousands and thousands of times. But we always lean on the arm of our understanding, and we get out of it. Got light from our own arm. That's why it was so dramatic with me, because I didn't want, I saw the emptiness and futility of the world system. Then that's when the conversion happened. But then I was tricked. My mind tricked me. This can't be right. I had a life. I had to find out I didn't have a life. I mean, I thought I didn't before, but then this evil one brought forth, well, maybe.
Could have been a contender.
Well, anyway, that's enough for today, but think about the He wants you and I to speak with the authority that he spoke with. And you can only do that by living it. Otherwise, there'll be something in your voice which doesn't penetrate the hearts of people. I don't know how to even explain that. I don't think I've ever said that before, but it's let's wait, it's over time now. We will try to remember that to talk about that when we meet again. Anybody remember what I'm going to talk about when we meet again?
I thank you just for God.
Speaking with authority is dangerous. So.
Well, but it has no power unless you're living it. That's what it means. So I want to.
And you only live it by abandonment. You don't live it by.
Well, you can't do it.
Do this now.
No, you only live the abandonment. See, that's if you think that if abandonment means the same thing as repentance, then yeah.
You're really hung up on repentance.
You bet I am. It's the only way you can see.
I think seeing comes first.
All right. Take it, big guy.